In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer.
Amen.
Please be seated. Yesterday, here at St. Michael's, a goodly number of your leadership, I think about 16, if my number counting was correct, 16 people of your leadership, vestry, Eucharistic ministers, Eucharistic visitors, staff, others, spent a good 4 hours or so engaged in safe church training. Now, safe church training might be something that you have heard about in the cracks of life, as it were, but it is a very specific program. It takes some time to go through the program. In this case, it took all the morning and a little early part of the afternoon as well to do it. It is an important part of who we are as community, particularly as a religious community. And Safe Church has been developed over the last 20 years or so of many denominations. Many different traditions now have similar programs. The Episcopal version is called Safe Church, and it arose in some way as a result of specific incidents in which safety of our members was compromised, as we should say. Now, we have not had, fortunately, as much of a problem with that in the Episcopal Church as in other traditions, but nonetheless, there have been some incidents. And so, promoting best practices regarding relationships with the vulnerable people, and indeed with all people, is the heart of Safe Church training. And there is a focus particularly on vulnerable people, children, young adults, the elderly, those who are in administrative positions, those who are supervised not only by lay people but by clergy. It focuses on the relationship we have with guests and visitors, and with each other, and it promotes conversations. I'll have to say, I think the best part about yesterday were the conversations we had about some of the situations that were presented or some of the experiences that I have had or that parishioners have had. To me, the conversations were where we really learned a lot about who we are and how we care for each other. There is both an inward focus with Safe Church, obviously, on us, on our church, our communities, those within, our volunteers, our employees. And there's an outward focus on those whom we minister to, those we visit, those who benefit from our outreach efforts, who use our building either as guests or as tenants. Safe Church training promotes the physical, emotional, and spiritual health and safety for all who are, in one way or another, part of our community. That's the essence of it. And there are some specific kinds of things that are obviously required, and specific kinds of behavior that we need to be careful about, specific ways in which we interact with each other. Much of the program does seem like common sense. How to greet people, appropriate settings for meeting people, guidelines for one-on-one interactions and conversations, attention to children and young adults, communication with parents of children and young adults, adequate supervision with others. And it is a teaching on what to look for. It's not only what might be going on within our community, what concerns we might have, what areas to watch out for. It is also training in looking for the signs of abuse or neglect of others. Abuse or neglect of children, of course, but also seniors. There's some training about that. And that is important because seniors can be isolated. Seniors can be alone, they can be neglected. In some cases, they are abused by their caregivers. And churches are in a unique position to help with those problems and challenges because, by and large, our churches, our populations of seniors. And there's nothing wrong with that, in my opinion. We had a good laugh about that. You know, there was a slide about ageism that implied there was deference to age, deference to our seniors, and young people were listened to. And I chimed in, no, wait a minute. I've known seniors that were hot to trot, that were on top of every technological change and were just really ahead of the pack, and I've known 20-somethings that were sticks in the mud. So let's just be careful about that. But nonetheless, I digress back to seniors. Our churches are by and large filled with seniors, and that is a good thing because we then have a special ministry with seniors. And as you might know, at St. Michael's, we're exploring some new ways to promote and develop those. So that is the summary of St. Church. And as I said, while much of it is common sense, the problem is that common sense is not always that common. So you do have to talk about those kinds of things that you might have that, of course, that's correct, but on the other hand, need to be reminded of. So thus the training. So with that still fresh in my thinking, I turn to the gospel passage today as an example in many ways of the safe church approach to our common life, because it emphasizes our connections to and with each other and the role of the community in resolving problems. Matthew's gospel is the most Hebrew scripture-dependent gospel. Matthew is the gospel that most often quotes or refers to the Old Testament, either obliquely, as you'll hear in a moment, or directly. Matthew, I think some 19 times, says, and such happened in order that such and such verse be fulfilled. And then goes on to tell you. Now, he doesn't always get the right verse in his quoting, but that's okay. When you're telling a good story, don't let the details bog you down. So he keeps going. But overall, Matthew has much of Old Testament Hebrew scripture teaching in it. And this particular passage, the two or three gathered together, the two or three witnesses, is a direct borrowing from Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 15, Deuteronomy being extensively laws governing the community. And it reads, "A single witness shall not suffice to convict a person of any crime or wrongdoing in connection with any offense that may have been committed. Only on the evidence of two or three witnesses shall a charge be sustained." Two or three witnesses. And you have echoes of that in the Passion stories, when Jesus is before the high priests and the Sanhedrin and the scribes and whatnot, and in all four passages, they whip up the crowds speak against Jesus, and then turn to Pilate and say, "See what others say about him. He is guilty of the offenses which we have charged him with." That's one of the reasons that they are doing that, to adhere to the law. But in a more positive light, Matthew's model of conflict resolution is in many ways like safe church. If you have a disagreement or situation or concern, go and have a conversation with that person. If you are listened to, one assumes that you are having a conversation and you're not accusing them necessarily, but you're having a talk. And then further, if that doesn't resolve the situation adequately, then those who you trust in the community, those are the people you call in and talk with them. See what they say. That careful approach of talking with others is at the core of what we learn on Sunday. None of us should feel alone or apart from others. There are persons and resources that can help. We all need the support of the community, especially trusted persons in whom we can confide. Two of your most important persons in this congregation are the wardens, Martha and Ted. And I think most of the time when say Martha and Ted and Audrey would both come and see me. They're looking forward to being a positive experience, which I would think 99% of the time basically is. But every once in a while, there's a situation that I just want to run by them, just to get their input, get their wisdom, because they know a community better than I do, get their sense of things. Am I right? Am I misperceiving? And then we try to work out whatever that problem has become. The wardens are the senior leaders of the congregation and very, very important people in our life. So we've heard over and over, if you have a concern about someone or some situation, particularly if you're not sure, speak with your pastor or your wardens or someone else. If you think someone is being abused or neglected, don't necessarily hold on to that. Share your concerns. Maybe you're wrong. Maybe it is a misperception. But talk to someone about that. And together you'll determine what the response should be. And above all else, in that way, in that manner that we handle disagreement and conflict and changes of opinion and difficulties, we respect the human dignity of every person we encounter. Parker Brown Taylor had this to say about Matthew's teaching. Our life together is the chief means that God has chosen for being with us, and it is of ultimate importance to God. Our life together is the place where we are comforted, confronted, tested, and redeemed by God through one another. It is the place where we come to know God and to let God know us. And that depends upon how we come to know each other. Or, to sum it up in Matthew's own words, for where two or three are gathered together, Matthew quoting Jesus here and in many places, for where two or three are gathered together, I am there among them. In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer.